someone else's journey is our lesson.
We used to say, the difficult we do immediately, the impossible just takes a little more time.
Someone else's lesson is our gift.
I believe part of our responsibility is really to equip and inspire our students to ask those difficult questions.
Be encouraged by the stories that lift us all.
I came to Howard because I wanted to be the President of the United States.
Somebody saw something in me, and it's my duty to be that person for somebody else.
Now, join Dr. Wayne Frederick, President of Howard University, and his guest on The Journey.
In an interconnected world where voices of diplomacy are needed, he is one to be heard. For nearly two decades, this man has passionately represented the people of the 5th Congressional District of New York and minority consumers. He has been an outspoken member of the Congressional Black Caucus and is a member of the House of Representatives with a reputation for getting things done. Hello, I'm Dr. Wayne Frederick, and my guest today on The Journey is a son of Howard, U.S. Congressman Gregory Meeks. Welcome.
Good to be with you, Dr. Frederick.
So you were born in East Harlem. Tell me about your childhood and siblings, parents.
I lived in East Harlem. I was born actually in Harlem Hospital, mm-hmm. but we grew up in public housing, first the Washington Projects for those who's from New York, and then the Lehman Projects, parents migrated, the Great Migration from South Carolina, and of course thereby spent some time in South Carolina, or a lot of time there. But growing up, my father worked a couple of jobs. He worked hard. He was a cab driver, and he worked as a porter at the on Broadway. And I went to public schools in New York, and was one of the first at that time. After a period of time of going to a school right across the street from my house, they decided to bus me downtown, where I went to a school on 66th Street in New York Avenue, which was a completely different environment for me. But I grew up as any normal child. You know, you didn't realize that you were poor, but we were poor. Mm-hmm. But playing baseball and football and basketball in the community, and learning. So it was a childhood where my dad was the football coach also of a Pop Warner football league. Uh-huh. My family was a very closely knit family. My uncles and aunts would always come to our games, and we would always celebrate and be together on major holidays, be it Thanksgiving or Christmas. We came together as a family. So we had a closely knit family. I had two sisters and a brother. So it was a childhood where I know that my parents made a lot of sacrifice.
And obviously, you know, seeing your parents work up close and personal has obviously translated into a lot of what you did later on. But with respect to your education, you attended Adelphi University. Why Adelphi, and what at the time were some of the factors in that decision-making process?
Well, one of the things I didn't say when I was growing up, you know, in the 60s, and there was turmoil that was going on, and it was Adam Powell was on the scene. I can remember him as a kid, and Malcolm X was there, and I used to go to the street corners with my dad to hear Malcolm X talk. And my father, when he was working on these Broadway theaters slinging a mop, he would be one to say, you either get an education or you can do work like I'm doing now. You can, you know, break your back. And so there was never a question for me as to going to school and getting an education, basically all my life. And so when it was time to decide what school I was going to go to, at the time, Adelphi was a good medium for me because I didn't want to go too far away from home because I wanted to be closer to my parents, but I wanted to live on campus. So I decided to go to Adelphi. They also had a great political science and history program, of which was of interest to me. And that ultimately, the geography, the distance that it was, the fact that it was a small campus, because I wanted a small campus, I thought that was better for me at that particular time, was what attracted me to attend Adelphi University undergrad. And I must say that lack of exposure, you know, coming from mm-hmm. the neighborhood, my parents, none of them had ever gone to college or anything of that nature. So I was the first to go to college. But I really did not understand, coming out of high school, HBCUs.
Right.
Because I didn't, when I think about it now, had I known about it,
right,
I probably would have applied to Howard or other HBCUs. But it wasn't what I wasn't exposed to it. And my high school guidance counselor, who was not an African American, didn't expose it to me. So I didn't know anything about it until I got to college.
Right. that's interesting. And obviously, that's something that we hear a lot, especially from the time period that you went to school, if you lived in areas such as New York and so on. Now, you obviously left Adelphi and then came to Howard's Law School. Why Howard's Law School? What about Howard's Law School attracted you at that point?
There was only one law school that I wanted to attend, and that was Howard. Because I knew from the time that I was a little kid, in fact, I show my daughters now, we had a little autograph book that I grabbed when I graduated the sixth grade going to junior high school, and said, what did you want to be when you grew up? And I said at that time, an attorney. And the reason why is Thurgood Marshall. I had studied and watched and learned about Thurgood Marshall and the difference that he was making in the community through law, how he was leveling the playing field, whether it was dealing with Brown v. Board of Ed, whether it was dealing with other discrimination cases. And all I knew was that Howard Law School was the law school that of justice that would, you know, help make America move forward and level the playing field for people of color. And so it was my single focus. It was not, to me, the legacy of Howard Law School is not creating just any kind of lawyer or just a lawyer who was focused on his or herself. It was an individual who would be a lawyer who understood social justice. And so there was no choice for me. I was waiting anxiously. I can recall I got accepted to a couple of other law schools, but it did not matter. I wanted to know, could I or would I get into Howard Law School? And luckily, I got into Howard Law School.
You're listening to The Journey. My guest today is Congressman Gregory Meeks. I'm Dr. Wayne Frederick. So you got to Howard Law School. What did you meet there in terms of environment, faculty, and fellow students? What was that like?
It was awesome. First of all, for me, and I wanted that experience too, it was probably the first time since my first two grades in schools, first and second grade. As I said, I got bused down to 66th Street, so I was in a predominantly white school at that particular time. And going to Adelphi was a predominantly white school. So going to a predominantly African-American school was just like a breath of fresh air for me at the time. And I was felt surrounded by individuals, both professors and classmates, who I had a lot in common with and who cared about the education that I was receiving. Yeah. And so I was able to bond with my classmates, many of whom did not come from New York City, mm-hmm. but from all over the country. And so we had different experiences. So we would debate, for example, I would debate about Malcolm X because he was close to me and what I've seen, and those from the South would debate about Dr. King and what he was talking about. So it was a bonding experience. And you had professors who, you know, you could tell that they were vested and the classes were small enough that, you know, you could really develop a relationship. But you could tell that the professors were vested in creating the next generation of lawyers to be social justice individuals who could pave the way for bringing somebody else behind. So it was a great experience for me. And many of my Howard Law classmates and I, we still communicate with one another.
Now, when you left law school, you started off as a prosecutor. What got you into elected office? What really spurred you to think about politics?
Well, you know, I never thought that I would be in elective office. I went on to become, when I left here, I went to the district attorney's office by choice because I thought that that's where you could first render justice. I had offers on the defense side also, but there was no African Americans in the district attorney's office, except one other who was also a Howard Law graduate, a guy by the name of Larry Parche. Okay. And so I talked to him and I went there. But I always was involved in community because my mother was, you know, she was in the tenant association when we lived in public housing. And by the time I got out, and that's another story that we'll talk about maybe later in this broadcast, but she had moved to Queens and bought a house. And I wanted to make sure that I was helping with that house. But we always were involved in community. And so I got involved just in politics by working and knocking on my congressmen and my state assemblymen's and my state senators' doors on issues that were important to the community, and then organizing folks to in campaign and for elections. I always thought, and then try to, and I did do some volunteer election laws. I always thought I would be the guy behind the scenes, understanding that politics affected the community, but I thought my role was behind the scenes. A new seat opened for the city council, and I was convinced by a number of individuals to run for the city council of New York. And I had no support of anybody, anything of that nature. They just thought that it was important for the community that I came from because they had never had anyone elected there. Mm-hmm. Right. And I ran, lost, but did well. Was able to debate and people. So, but I then said to myself and to others, I would never run for office again. Turns out next year was another redistricting. And here I was sure that I would not run or would have to run. I made sure that I was the organizer of the community so that we can get behind one candidate to run for office. And what happened then, I called the meeting and then did not realize that someone called the meeting before my meeting. So when I arrived at the meeting, I said, okay, I'm glad everybody's here. Let's get together. Who's going to run for this office? And they all said, well, we've decided already. I said, okay, I'll go with, let's go. It's you. And so I ran for the state assembly at that time. And again, I, you know, close election. I won that election in 1992 to the state assembly by 353 votes.
Wow. Wow, that's pretty close. Now, you've gotten into Congress. You've been there a couple of decades. What are some of the things in this particular legislative session that you are particularly passionate about that you think we have to solve in terms of moving America forward?
Well, it revolves around the two committees that I sit in, and that's what I've been focused on. So if you talk about financial services, because I do believe that the second phase of the civil rights movement for African Americans is economics, and that we've got to make sure that economic opportunity is available for all of us, and to create small businesses and to be creative in regards to having access to capital and the level of the playing field there, and to make sure that in the financial services industries, for example, that there is diversity therein, that our federal contracts are diverse. And so I'm focused on, and I think that this Congress is still, you know, some people thought with the election of President Obama that you were in a post-racial America. No, there's still many barriers that are up and very still and thick against us. So I want to break down those barriers, access to capital, diversity in the financial services, be able to create wealth. And I could do that from the Financial Services Committee. As well as I'm concerned very much about what's taking place and what's going on internationally. My other committee, I serve on the Foreign Affairs Committee, where I'm the ranking Democrat on Europe, Eurasia, but I've also done so, you know, been on the Africa subcommittee as well as the Western Hemisphere subcommittee. And so I'm focused on we're living in a global economy. So to me, I can then try to open up doors for those who are doing global finance into different parts of the world. So that ties in also in that regard and try to harmonize some rules and some regulations so that we can make sure that those doors are open to us, but also to make sure that there's some consistency with regards to some of the foreign countries and the United States of America, as opposed to I'm not where the current president is, who seems to be an isolationist. I think it's more important now that we have interconnectedness because of the global and technological society in which we live in.
Now, what advice do you have for up-and-coming Howard students?
My advice is make sure you're involved in your community. The key is, and the lesson of my life is that when you're involved in your community, people notice. And especially when you're doing it just for good, not necessarily to promote yourself to run, but just because you want to make a difference in someone's life, because you've had the opportunity to get an education. Therefore, I believe that not only should you take care of yourself, but you should, you and your family, but you should also reach back to help someone. And when you do that, doors open up for you in the future that you would never know would open. And so I always advise young people volunteering, and even if you move from the community from which you lived, still volunteering in either your community or going back to from which you came from and helping there. And that then gives you connections also to people who will offer opportunities and their doors open for you. So staying involved in community is especially if you want to get elected to office, being involved in your local community is absolutely key and important in my estimation.
Congressman Meeks, you certainly epitomize our motto of truth and service, and we're very, very grateful here at the university for what you've been doing in Congress for the past two decades. You've been listening to The Journey. I'm Dr. Wayne Frederick. Please join us next time.
You've been listening to The Journey with Dr. Wayne Frederick on the Howard University Radio Network.